football on Off the Ball.
You know, I think you could argue maybe Graham Burke, Jack Byrne, technically right now, are more influential to what Shamrock Rovers do.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's final whistle. Your comprehensive roundup of the weekend's Gaelic games.
Hello and welcome to this week's final whistle on Off the Ball. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we will get reaction from what was a bumper weekend of Gaelic games action. We will get all the reaction from Hyde Park as Donegal dumped Mayo out of the championship in a tense affair in Roscommon. Monaghan booked their place in the All-Ireland quarter-final as 6 points from Rory Beggan proved pivotal in their victory over Down, who will have a home quarter-final next weekend. And we'll have to get the best bits from a busy Saturday as Meath shot Kerry to top group two, whilst Armagh and Galway played out a thriller in Breffni Park as the Tribesmen saved their season. But first to Sunday's action, and Kieran Moore kicked a buzzer beater for Donegal to beat Mayo 19 points to 115 to knock the Westerners out of the championship for 2025. Fergal Boland had seemingly salvaged Mayo's season with a stunning equaliser just seconds earlier, but Moore's score, though meaningless for Donegal's group position, sealed Mayo's exit. Donegal led 9 points to 6 at the break and outperformed Mayo in a dominant first half, despite a black card for Pádraig Mógán. Mayo surged after the interval, briefly leading through a David McBrien goal, but Donegal responded with 4 unanswered points. Late drama included key saves from Sean Patton and defensive heroics from Jack Coyne and Colm Rape. Mayo's inconsistency and a lack of 2-point scoring threat cost them dearly, while Donegal's composed play and scoring defenders, including Michael Murphy and Kieran Moore, proved decisive in an unforgettable contest. But it was the scheduling of the match that proved a bee in the bonnet of Donegal manager Jim McGuinness, as he spoke to Off the Ball GAA correspondent Tommy Rooney.
Like, 7 days is too short, in my opinion, to be honest with you, for what we're asking players to do. And I think there's a conversation to be had at the end of the season in terms of that. I do feel that the demands of the game are actually, you know, I think you guys have a very important part to play in this. The demands of the game are way, way, way beyond what they were. And, you know, I don't think it's possible, actually, you know, to bring that level and that level and that level. But anyway, you know, that's a conversation for another time. But yeah, we would be looking for, we'd definitely be looking for the 7 days. You know, we don't believe we should have been here today either, being honest with you. You know, we think that it was very unfair to bring us here. It was the equivalent of bringing Mayo to Oma. And we also put in an email, you know, to the CCCC to say we couldn't get a hotel. We couldn't get a hotel in the area, so we had to stay in Athlone. We had to go beyond the venue to come to play in the venue. So it was the equivalent of Mayo going to play us in Oma and staying in Derry. And I don't believe that would happen. I think that would only happen because it's us. I think it would only happen because it's us. And disappointed in that, and we made a case, and we made the case early, and it was on deaf ears, you know. But that's, again, that's for another day. But I don't like the fact that our supporters are always kind of being taken advantage of. We had 7 games up to this point, you know. Nobody's played more games than us, nobody. And yet, no, we had the longest trek, and all those people have to find a way to do all that, you know. So Breffni was an option. They're going to say it wasn't. I know that Clonus was offered, and that was rescinded. You know, all you're looking for is fairness, and the middle is fair, you know.
And McGuinness would go on further to clarify his comments.
Donegal.
Why would you think that?
That's probably a long conversation, Colm, that we would need to have, you know. But we knew a month ago that it was going to be here. And we also knew we couldn't get accommodation, and we also knew that it was going to be difficult for supporters. And we put that case forward, and that didn't happen, you know. So it happens for all the other teams. So why does it not happen for us? You know, everybody else had a fair shake this weekend. If you look at the two counties and you look at the geographical position, then all the games were fair. This wasn't a fair one. Like, you're 38 minutes from Mayo's training ground. You know, we're 3.5 hours from Inishowen. You know, it's not fair, and I think it's something that if I don't say it, like, who's going to say it? Do you know what I mean? If I don't say it, who's going to say it? And you always seem to be the one that's pointing fingers. But at the end of the day, my job, and it's 100% my job, it's the players, the responsibility is to the players. Like, you know, when you're travelling on a bus for 3 hours the day before a game, that takes it out of your legs. There's no way that's not taking it out of your legs. That's taking it out of your legs. And so, but anyway, we'll move on.
Whatever happens now, one thing for certain is that Donegal will have a home preliminary quarterfinal in Ballybuffet next weekend. Mayo's summer is over. Their boss, Stephen Rochford, said that Mayo weren't at their best.
I actually was looking at the clock when Sean Patton was saying, is he going to get the ball out before the Hooter? But he did, and we're out of the championship. There's no other way to put it.
Half-time, it wasn't looking great. You're against the wind, you're 3 points down. What were you saying just to get things motoring? Because you started okay, but you seemed to lose shape after the Mogan black card.
Yeah, look, you know, without giving some clear, we weren't the best version of ourselves in that first half. We were just a little bit passive. We didn't take the ball to it. I think, you know, as you touched on those early phases, I think Darren McHale was getting in behind, David McBrien was getting in behind their outer defensive line, and we just seemed to stop doing that. We weren't just, you know, looking to take that outer line out of it, maybe with a pass, and you know there was opportunities for us to do that. And then we probably took a couple of shots, dropped shorts, some wide, and then, you know, there's a tendency then to say, oh God, we need to get better shots, and it's all a cocktail of sort of hesitation. And we just spoke at half time about, look, we're going to take the game to them a bit more. It was going to be a little bit more of a challenge, obviously, with the wind, and you're probably looking at, you know, just small margins coming down there. We had a couple of goal chances. I know they had a goal chance as well, obviously, off that kick out. But look, that's just the way the championship goes these days, where they're tight games, and you know, if you're not ahead on the final whistle, speak the obvious here, but if you're not, you know, you're nowhere.
In the day's other game in Group 1, Tyrone secured a direct route to the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship quarterfinals with a dominant 31-18 victory over Cavan at Brewster Park in Enniskillen. Darren McCurry and Dara Canavan starred, scoring 14 points between them, while veterans Peter Hart and Matty Donnelly also played key roles. Despite losing Michael McKernan early to injury, the Red Hand stormed into a 7-point lead after 15 minutes and maintained control throughout. Cavan, who also progressed to the preliminary quarterfinals, showed moments of promise with Paddy Lynch kicking 6 points and Ryan O'Neill added a late 2-pointer. Bale lacked the cutting edge to challenge Malachy O'Rourke's side. A brilliant save from Niall Morgan denied a Cavan goal, while Tyrone's midfield dominance from Brian Kennedy and Conor Kilpatrick prevented any comeback. Former All-Star Conor Myler made a welcome return after injury, and under-20 star Owen McElhone also impressed off the bench. That result confirms Tyrone's top finish in their group, following Donegal's draw with Mayo. And after the match, off the balls, Jonathan Higgins caught up with Myler, who was delighted to be back after coming back from a long-term injury layoff.
Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted. Just delighted that the boys had faith in me and they stuck by me, and I got my chance today. Just grateful for all the people that did back me when I probably even doubted myself for the last few years. It's been a very rocky road, and it's just emotional there with family at the end, because they certainly backed me and they gave up a lot as well to help me try and get back. So, yeah, you wonder, will you get that chance again, or will the sort of career peter out? But just delighted that it did.
Certainly was a long road, surgeries and dark days, no doubt.
And it's very lonely. I think anyone who's been through a long-term injury will know how lonely it is. And, you know, and when you're in the setup, it's grand. You can be around people but still feel quite lonely inside. And it's probably the nights when you're sitting in bed by yourself or you're at home and you're in a lot of physical pain that you really start to wonder. But I think when you suffer and endure something difficult, then you'll always learn something out the other end, just sticking in it. And I probably knew that if I stuck it out this season and didn't get back, then at least I could hold my head high. But just delighted to say the boys backed me, medical, a lot of good people got around me and supported me, and I got my chance, so yeah, over the moon.
A lesser person would have said, that's it, enough, I don't want to suffer anymore, I don't want to work anymore. It takes a lot of drive to keep on it, keep on the wheel.
It does, and that's like motivation ebbs and flows, but it's that discipline to keep getting up every time, even when it's the last thing you want to do. And that's why you need good people around you, because you can't do it yourself. And I'm just very grateful that I have such a good support network, and people believed in me as well. Like, that was a big thing, just getting good people around me. So yeah, it's a wee bit surreal, to be honest, so just trying to soak it in here.
Tyrone boss Malachy O'Rourke also paid tribute to the Omagh St Enda's clubman.
There's no doubt, and people wouldn't know, and I wouldn't have known even myself until involved this year, how much work he has put in the back, and a lot of things that people don't see, and it's just the amount of effort he's put in, and the things he's put on hold to try and get himself back, to try and get himself in the position to put on the Tyrone jersey again. It has been remarkable, really, and very few would do it. So it's just a complete vindication for him today, I suppose, of all that work he's put in, and the amount of sacrifice he's made, and just delighted from the resilience he showed to get back out in that field today, and then to come in and play really well as well. Brilliant for him, brilliant for us going forward. So really pleased about that.
Tyrone can sit back in the comfort knowing that they will return to HQ in 2 weeks' time to take on a team that has been out 3 weeks in a row. However, Matty Donnelly kicked 4 points from play, and he told Jonathan Higgins that the up and down nature of the championship means they won't be taking anyone for granted.
Hey, look, the way it's kind of been... It's kind of been the themes throughout the country, and that teams have been up and down week on week when the championship is in that sort of format, and every game's really important, and you are week on week. Different weeks you'll be on a high, other weeks you'll be on a low. That's just the nature of football. Like, it's a very even keel with the teams throughout the competition. Everyone's at a high level here, and if you're off it 1 week, you'll be nipped, and when you're on it another week, you have a chance, and that's what we have to do, is try and be on it every day we go out.
And you certainly were on it today right from the off. 31 points is some scoring.
it is now, and I suppose in today's game, you know, it's a bit easier to get to that tally, but any day we go out and kick 31 points, you'd be hoping you'd be on the right side now. But yeah, a lot of positives in that front.
And looking around, a lot of supporters here as well. They're going to go home very, very happy.
They will. Yeah, look, any day Tyrone wins, you have to, and you're a Tyrone person, you have to be happy, and that's what it's about. It's good to be happy this week, but as I say, we know we have a lot to work on over the next 2 weeks, and hopefully we're happy the next day out too.
Raymond Gallagher's Cavan will now turn attention to next weekend, where they'll play either Down, Dublin or Kerry away from home. Earlier on Sunday, Monaghan secured their place in the All-Ireland quarter-finals with a thrilling 227-126 win over Down at the Athletic Grounds in Armagh. In a high-octane clash, the teams were level multiple times, but Monaghan's experience, bench impact and a key Down rule breach proved decisive. Down led 115-114 at half-time thanks to John McGeough's goal and Pat Havern's sharp free-taking. Monaghan responded with second-half displays from Jack McCarron, Louis Kelly and goalkeeper Rory Began, who had 3 2-pointed frees. A controversial McCarron goal and a late rule infringement gave Began a chance to stretch the lead, with Davy Garland making it 5 to put the game beyond doubt against the resilient Mourne men. Off the ball's Scarlett Heron spoke to Monaghan goalkeeper Rory Began, and the Scotland man was delighted to help put his side into Croke Park in a fortnight's time.
Yeah, just relieved. Like, we didn't really want to be going 3 weeks on the bounce, and look, at delighted to have Croke Park in our sights now. So look, it was a tough game, scoreline suggests that, but it's just every man left it out there today, so we're going to need them 2 weeks to recover.
Yeah, Down were very strong, especially coming through the centre, very quick off the kickouts and quick to get up the pitch. How do you think you cope with that?
Yeah, well, we got a good idea of it from the league game. They were well ahead of us in that, and we learnt a lot from that game. And look, they've been brilliant in the championship, what they've done with Clare and what they've done with Louth. You know, we knew it'd be tough, but here, you have to beat teams like that there to try and win in All-Ireland. And yeah, that's another job done to us, but delighted to get through it.
It's not all doom and gloom for Conor Laverty's Down team. They will have their home preliminary quarter-final next weekend. Laverty was nonetheless disappointed that his side didn't get over the line.
Listen, we're absolutely got it now. We came here with massive belief that we could win the game. And it's been really disappointing.
Louth booked their spot in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship preliminary quarter-finals with a gritty 217-214 win over Clare and Portlaoise. Sam Mulroy scored 1-6, 4 from distance, and that proved vital. Clare battled back with Rory McMahon and Owen Cleary netting goals to cut the deficit to 3 late on. Louth, despite losing goalkeeper Niall McDonald to injury, held on thanks to substitute Conor Brannigan's crucial second point and strong defensive resolve. The result sends Louth into Monday's draw, while Clare exit again, once again winless. Louth talisman Sam Mulroy told Killian Whelan that he was delighted just to get over the line over a tough banner challenge.
Yeah, absolutely relieved. We didn't play. We played well at times, didn't play overly well at other times. So, but as I suppose the main goal coming here today was to get 2 points to get the group, and we've done that, so happy enough.
And Clare Bannister Peter Keane said he was nothing but proud of his players.
Oh, you couldn't but be proud of them, Killian. My Jesus, somebody said there they died. They died on their backs and they died with their shoes on. It wasn't looking good at halftime. We struggled big time during the black card. I think we conceded something like 2-4 in that window. That really hurt us. But down 8 at halftime, a kick of a ball in at the end. You'd have to be very, very, very proud of the lads.
Clare's summer is now complete, but Louth will now travel to either Dublin, Kerry or Donegal to keep their ambitions alive of winning a first All-Ireland title since 1957. Turning attention now to Saturday's games, and Shane Walsh held his nerve to kick a last-gasp winner as Galway edged Armagh in a thrilling All-Ireland Senior Football Championship Round 3 clash, securing a knockout place. Despite already qualifying for the quarter-finals, Armagh started stronger, leading 15 points to 7 at half-time, thanks to scores from Rean O'Neill, Keane McConville, and 2 two-pointers from goalkeeper Ethan Rafferty. Galway missing Damien Comer mounted a stunning second-half comeback. John Maher's early goal sparked momentum, followed by key scores from Peter Cook, Rob Finnerty, and Walsh, who finished with 6 points. The lead changed hands multiple times in a gripping finish with Stephen Campbell and Rafferty 2-point free, keeping the Orchard County in the game. But Galway's belief didn't waver, and after a frantic finale and a late free gave Walsh the chance to win it, he calmly converted after the hooter, capping Galway's remarkable turnaround and avenging last year's final defeat, while also delivering a confidence-boosting win over the reigning All-Ireland champions. And Shane Walsh told Off the Ball's Jonathan Higgins after the game that their championship was on the line.
That's harder one than the games, that is, believe me. I know. Look, it's our championship is on the line today, and we knew that coming into it. And look, it even looked bleak at half time. But look, Porrick is the big driver in this. The last 2 weeks in particular, he's been driving us on. No one does more in the group. And look, it took us probably right to the edge of the cliff there at half time. And look, we came out fighting. The character in the group, like, it's unbelievable. Like, there to come out in the second half, everyone to a man. There's blocks going on everywhere, all over the field. And look, we ended up getting on the right side of it this time.
Tribesman boss Porrick Joyce said that he was proud of his group of players.
Yeah, look, we're delighted to come out of the game with a win when we were 8 points down at half time. They're looking like we were heading out of the championship, but look, the lads performed unbelievably well in the second half. But it was a fantastic game of football overall. We knew it was going to be a hard battle with Armagh, like it always is. It's our sixth time playing them in the last couple of years, and there's only been a kick of the ball in between us. But I thought our lads just, we were fighting for our lives, really. You know, we knew we were going to be out of the championship, but we took the shackles off, and for some reason it took that to start playing a bit of football, and we kicked 2:15 in the second half, which is huge kicking. And controlled the game at the end there a little bit when we could have probably lost it or won or whatever, got our hands on the ball with Keane Darcy to kick out at the end, and Paul uses all his experience to win the free, and it's a super kick by Shane, a pressure kick by Shane. He gets unfair criticism half the time in Galway as well about stuff like, but he was fantastic today, and he's trained really well the last couple of weeks, but he put in a super performance for us today.
Probably a difficult game to try and analyse, particularly when it's so emotive, but it was a case of, was it letting the hand break off, raw energy, and then
I don't think it's that simple. I think the first half, I think Armagh really outplayed us the first half. Like, their running power was fantastic. They probably missed a lot of chances as well. Like, they're a serious side. Like, people say that that was a lucky final last year that they won, but look, they won it. They beat us. They're a serious side. Probably get enough credit that they do deserve, but like, that's their second loss in championship football in 70 minutes in 3 years, so we knew it was going to be tough. And they made him to the bench at the end, and they came, probably finished with a stronger team than they started. But delighted for us to come out of it, proud of the lads. It's a proud even for us to come out, and I've been involved in a lot of games at Galway, but like, the passion involved in that, and you know, there's so much on the line, the championship's on the line for us, really, you know. And it's great that the lads stood up and showed great character, which they've shown all along. Like, and yeah, it's a group of deaths, but you know what, these three games will stand no end to us, you know, because they've been fantastic games. And this group, I think a lot of teams wouldn't have got out of this group, to be honest, that's in the country. So we got to park it now and move on and get ready for a preliminary quarter final next week, which again is going to be away to a tough opponent as well. But look, we're happy to be there.
Galway will now travel to either Newry, Ballybuffet or Killarney to either take on Down, Donegal or Kerry in a preliminary quarter-final. Armagh were the only team ahead of this weekend with nothing to play for, as they had already booked their last eight spot. Boss Kieran McGeaney said that he is happy with where his side are, but there are still things to work on.
Oh, like, you go out, like, you only have so many games. Like, to leave your players standing around for a month wouldn't be ideal. So like, there's a few boys with a couple of niggles, and so, like, you know, we're probably, like, you know, 4 or 5 like that, like, would normally be playing. But I thought the boys that came in today were excellent. Like, I thought they played really well, so, you know, it puts another push on.
And you still avoid the prelims next week, which is a, you know, positive outcome for your guys.
Yeah, like, we have a couple of knocks and bangs in there too, and just trying to get them all right for the next 2 weeks is going to be important.
Where do you think you are at this stage? Are you happy with things?
Listen, we're in the quarterfinals, which is just you can't ask for more than that. Like, you're going to be the same as everybody else. Like, at this moment in time, probably there's none of the big guns gone, and there's still a lot of football to be played. Like, you know, with some of the results today, and I'm sure tomorrow will be no different.
That result meant that Derry needed to better the Galway result. However, it was Dublin who secured a home preliminary quarter-final spot with a narrow win over a luckless Oak Leaf side in a thrilling All-Ireland SFC Round 3 clash at Park Elsler in Newry. Inspired by Kieran Kilkenny and the returning Con O'Callaghan, who scored 5 points, Dublin's dominant third quarter was crucial. The sides were levelled 6 times in a high-octane first half, where Shane McGuigan's brilliance, 10 points including 3 two-pointers, kept Derry in the fight. Despite Dublin's blistering start, scoring 3 points in under 2 minutes, Derry responded impressively but couldn't capitalise on key chances. McGuigan struck the post while Brendan Rodgers and Lachlan Murray both went inches wide with their goal efforts. Dublin pulled ahead 21 points to 16 late on and held on despite a late rally from Paddy Talley's side. Rory Forbes' goal line clearance and a late Rodgers' points weren't enough for Derry, whose season of near misses continued. Dublin, meanwhile, showed their resurgence at just the right time. And Dub stalwart Brian Howard told OTB GA correspondent Tommy Rooney that attention now turns to next weekend after a good win in battling conditions.
Yeah, it was an exciting game, right from minute one. We knew, like, throughout the years we played, I know, in Division 2 there a couple of years ago, we were nip and tuck with them all the way along, and today was no different. So conditions were tough, but I know it's the same for both teams, but it was an enjoyable day.
You switched it on from the word get-go, like you were straight into it, you had a brilliant start. And then you're looking at the scoreboard 15 minutes in, and there you're there and thereabouts, Steele. Like, out of nowhere, it was nearly freeze, really, that they were nailing, yeah. But it was funny.
Yeah, and it just goes to show with the new rules, anything can happen. Like, we were in the driving seat at the start, 4 or 5 points up, and then when you have any technical breaches, a team can come back in, especially when you have a free taker like McGuigan, he can score from anywhere. So it was a lesson for us there, just a bit around the discipline, but exciting few days ahead of the prelims now.
While Dublin prepare for their preliminary clash next weekend, Derry's season is now over. Their manager, Paddy Talley, said that he only wishes that their season was still going.
You would, actually. You'd love to be going now at the stage the rest of the season, because this is actually when you're starting to play.
Yeah.
And it really is, and I keep saying that, but this team are only actually starting now. But that's probably the fact that we're only getting to the pitch of the competition we're at. Like, we're the only team in Ireland that's played in the Division 1 teams this year. Every other team has played a lesser team. We've played Division 1, I think it's our 13th match, all against Division 1 teams. That's, nobody else has to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so even the fact we're doing that there is a good sign for us. Like, but it's even the way the thing worked out this year, having that tough group, we knew it was going to be very, very hard. And we brought as far as we possibly could, but not good enough.
Meath stunned Kerry with a dominant 9-point win in Tullamore to secure place in the All-Ireland SFC quarter-finals, sending the Munster champions to a preliminary quarter-final in Killarney. Kerry, plagued by injuries to key players like Sean O'Shea, Paddy Clifford and Paul Ganey, were overwhelmed by a relentless Meath side. Despite missing James Conlon, Meath's Owen Frayne, Rory Kinsella and Connor Duke scored 15 points between them, including 4 crucial 2-pointers. Kerry briefly led in the first half, but Meath surged ahead 14-8 by half-time. Even with Cathal Hickey's sin bins early in the second half, Meath maintained control. The Kingdom closed the gap to 2 points by the 50th minute, but Meath pulled away again with 2-pointers from Kinsella and Duke, followed by a goal from stalwart Brian Menson. Kieran Caulfield started at wing-back as the Royals completed a remarkable turnaround from last year's heavy defeat, while Kerry were left reeling. Off the Bulls' Matthew Brennan spoke to Meade's Jordan Morris after the game, and the Kingscourt clubman said that the week off is a great help to help some tired and sore bodies.
Yeah, I know it's well needed now, to be fair. We have a lot of tired bodies there, and a few boys picking up injuries here and there as well. So look, that week break is going to be crucial for us, I think, for as a group there going forward. I think we're probably the only ones who knew that we were going to have a week off, to be fair. So.
Cork edged out Roscommon 19-17 in a thrilling All-Ireland Round 3 clash in Portlaoise, knocking the Rossies out of the championship. A key 5-point burst before half-time and dominance on Roscommon's kickouts gave John Cleary's side a lead they never surrendered. Despite a late Roscommon surge, including 5 points from Dara Craig, Cork held firm. Ian Maguire and Paul Walsh were instrumental in Cork's midfield superiority, while goalkeeper Micheál A. Martin made a crucial save from Craig late on. Roscommon had chances to win, but wasteful finishing let them down. Cork substitute Cathal O'Mahony ended a 13-minute scoreless spell with a vital point, and Martin again denied a late Dermot Murta effort. The final play saw Roscommon's last-ditch 2-point attempt blocked by Daniel O'Mahony after the buzzer. The result marked the Rebels' biggest win of the season and sent them into the final 12, while the Rossies' campaign ended in disappointment. And Rebels keeper Micheál A. Martin told Killian Whelan that it was a very satisfying day in the Red of Cork.
Yeah, look, it's no point beating around the bush. It's a very satisfying win. We needed it. It was knockout football today. Had to win, and thankfully got over the line.
Turning attention now back to events on Sunday, Wicklow secured a historic 218-270 win over Westmeath to reach the Tailteann Cup semi-final after a thrilling comeback in Aughrim. Trailing by 8 midway through the second half, the Garden County fought back with key scores from Oisín McGrainer, Mark Jackson and Owen Darcy. Westmeath, led by Luke Lachlan and Shane Allen, looked in control for much of the game, but Wicklow's persistence paid off. A penalty from McGrainer levelled the game before Jackson tied it again with a two-pointer. In added time, Dean Healy scored the dramatic winner after a crucial block by Malachy Stone, sparking wild home celebrations. Oisín Langan spoke to victorious Wicklow manager Oisín McConville after the game.
Don't really know how I'm feeling about anything at the minute. I mean, that was mad, that last 10, well, the whole of the second half, actually. But I think, I'm not sure how many we went down. We probably went down 7. Maybe
8, I think.
Maybe even 8, yeah. And for us to claw our way back from that, playing against the elements, tells you everything you need to know about this crew. And, you know, they just keep digging in, and there's a serious amount of quality there. And look, at they still really haven't grasped Nettler data, or they haven't realised just how good they can be. But hopefully today we'll bring that on another wee step. But how am I feeling right now? I actually haven't a clue how I'm feeling. I'm just so happy for everybody. You can see the scenes. It was a good crowd here today. We had a brilliant crowd for the Dubs. Hopefully we have a massive crowd now for the semi-final in Croke Park. We dug that out. We ground it out. And look, there's not much more I can say about it. I'd have to look back. There was lots of little spells, but obviously you go to the end of the game. We give the ball away cheaply. They come up the field. It's in the hands of Luke Lachlan, so you think, right, okay, we've given this a good shot, but that's it. We're done and dusted. Malachy, from absolutely nowhere, gets a block in. We go up the field. Get it to Dean. You know, like, who do you want with the ball in the last play of the game? And it was him. And once we got it to him, then it was a score. And do you know what? I think, and this is going to sound biased, but I think on the measure of it all, we deserved it.
Limerick advanced to their first ever Tailteann Cup semi-final with a 421-219 win over Wexford at TUS Gaelicgrounds. Captain Killian Fahey and Danny Neville each scored 2 goals, while James Nocton contributed 9 points. Wexford started brightly with 5 early scores, including 1-7 from Sean Nolan, and were levelled 3-8-114 at half-time. However, with a wind advantage, Limerick dominated the second half to seal an 8-point victory, despite a second Wexford goal from Mark Rossiter. On Saturday, Kildare edged Offaly 117-19 points, whilst Fermanagh defeated Sligo by 21-116 to book their place in the semi-finals. Tony McEntee stepped away as Sligo manager after the game. The draw for the semi-finals will take place on Monday morning, where it'll be an open draw as Kildare, Wicklow, Limerick and Fermanagh all chase a first ever Tailteann Cup triumph. Elsewhere this weekend, Kildare's 2025 sojourn into Lee McCarthy was ended by Dublin as they hammered the Joe McDonagh champions by 325 to 13 points in Newbridge. The Dubs will take on Limerick in next weekend's All-Ireland quarter-final. Tipperary easily disposed of Laois in the other preliminary quarter-final clash. The Premier County were 332 to 18 point winners over Laois away from home. Liam Cahill's side will take on Galway for a place in the All-Ireland semi-final in a week's time. That is about all we have time for on this week's Final Whistle. Remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast every weekday morning from 7:30, either live on YouTube or on the Go Loud app. Owen Sheehan will be back in the hot seat from 7, live on News Talk each weeknight. To hear even more detailed analysis of the weekend's action, you can find the Football Pod with Tommy Rooney, James O'Donoghue and Paddy Andrews wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. You can listen to the Hurling Pod with Will O'Callaghan, James Skehill and Paul Murphy to get your hurling fix across all platforms. And to not miss a single second of our GA coverage, which featured the likes of Cullen Boyle, Darren O'Sullivan, Mike Quirk, Shawnee Johnson, Shane McEntee, Eamon McGee, Richie Hogan, Ryan O'Dwyer, Sarah O'Donovan and a whole lot more, why not become a member at offtheball.com/join. I'm David Wilson. Thanks to you for listening, and thanks to all of our reporters on a busy weekend. We'll be all back next week.